Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. Summertime is just around the corner, which means as you're driving through northern Minnesota, you might see a sign that says powwow. I've never been to one, and so I talked to Dr. Anton Troyer about what I might expect.
Powwows are, in some ways, reflective of both the cultural continuity of cultural traditions in Indian country and also some cultural change. So if you went back to the 1800s, there really wasn't a powwow the way that you would see it today. People had large drums with numerous people around them singing together in different styles of dance, but each tribe had different customs. There was a grass dance society in the plains. There were, in this area here, there was a ceremonial peace drum that was given to the Ojibwe by the Dakota. It's part of the story for how peace was made between those tribes. And that ceremony has influenced some of the modern powwow traditions as well. But it's changed and evolved over time. In the 19-teens, someone had a dream about the jingle dress, which is one of the styles of dance at the powwow as well. And so that infused itself into, you know, the evolving customs for the dance. And today, when you go to a powwow, you will see, as you've probably seen pictures, you know, even on an invitation poster or Facebook, of many different kinds of dance. And so you'll see beadwork and feathers and jingle dresses and things like that. But most people are there in their street clothes, either because they're singing and they're not dressed up in their powwow regalia, or because they're spectating and watching from the stands, or they're working the stands, or they're selling things on the outside of the powwow arena. And, you know, there's an announcer who usually is speaking English. Sometimes they'll throw Ojibwe in there if you're in Ojibwe country or whatever the home indigenous language happens to be. But they're usually pretty good at explaining and telling people what the protocol is, when to stand, when to sit, those kind of things. So, you know, there really is no need for excessive fear of standing out or making a faux pas or looking like an idiot, because people will guide you through the process. And for the most part, you can go there and be as passive as you like. Just sit in the stands and watch. Once in a while, they'll say, "Everybody, please stand for the following honor song." And as long as you're listening, it's pretty easy to see what's going on. And everyone around you will either be standing or sitting, you know, and so it's easy to know what to do. And then if you want to be more involved, then it's easy enough to do that too. The tribes around this area, like a community like Leech Lake, Leech Lake's not just one place. You know, the reservation's quite large. There are numerous different villages, and often each village will have a powwow. When you see invitations for a traditional powwow, that means that there's no fee. You don't have to buy a ticket or anything like that. You can just go. You can watch. You can, you know, sing or dance or participate. When they have a contest powwow, and that's a much more recent development, really starting in the 1970s and on, sometimes they will have competitions where people, all of the male traditional dancers, will compete against one another to exhibit their style of dance, and they'll be judged, and there's prize money. And those sometimes do charge fee to come in. But the most common kind of powwow you'll see in this area is a traditional powwow. If it's a contest powwow, it'll say contest powwow, and it'll list the fee just like it would be if you're going to community theater or something like that. But all of the powwows have several different styles of dance. And for female dancers, there's a traditional style where you would see either velvet or buckskin dresses, usually with long fringe. It tends to be kind of a graceful, proud, and sometimes a little bit slower style to that kind of dance. And within that style of dance, there are some variations. You know, some of the Plains tribes even would put an elk tooth from different kills that her husband had made. And so there was kind of an exhibition of family hunting ability and so forth. But there are other styles as well. And then another very popular style is the jingle dress. In the 19-teens, there was actually an Ojibwe man who had a dream about the jingle dress, and the sound of the jingles would replicate the sound of water. Water's healing and cleansing in Ojibwe culture and associated with the power of women. And so the original jingle dress came into being for healing. It grew into the modern powwow circuit, and most people who carry jingle dresses still view it as something that exemplifies the power of women and the power of healing, and one of the purposes of the dance. Although there are different variations and lots of different colors and styles to a jingle dress. The other style of female dance is the fancy shawl. And with those, the dancer has a shawl and much faster movements and spins and turns, and they're actually replicating a butterfly coming out of its cocoon. And so so those are the main styles of female dance. For the men, there are three main styles of dance too. So there's the men's traditional, and in former times, each eagle feather, not anybody could wear eagle feathers. They kind of had to be earned, usually as a military honor. So there would be a feather for any time somebody made a kill or was wounded and so forth. And so the wearing of feathers on the back in a bustle or on top of the head in either on top of a porcupine hair roach or a dog soldier hat, which is like numerous feathers together on top of the head, or a feather war bonnet, someone would be saying, exemplifying their military accomplishments. Wow. So if you could bring somebody from, you know, a couple hundred years ago to the present, and they'd be looking at some younger people wearing lots of feathers, they'd be thinking, these are the toughest Indians I've ever seen. So some of the usage of feathers has changed a little bit over time. So today, it's not the case that every feather represents somebody, you know, a military honor. But at the same time, they're still viewed with great reverence. There are lots of things in indigenous culture that speak to that. The eagle flies higher than other birds, can be seen as a conduit for prayer. And eagle feather or even an honor song are considered especially high honors to give someone. So the men, you know, those are kind of the most obvious pieces of the men's traditional regalia. But there's another style of dance called the grass dance. And most of the grass dancers have kind of long fringe, either made out of buckskin ribbon, yarn, or some combinations of them. And that's actually an old warrior society dance from the plains. And the dancers actually replicate the movement of the long, tall grass. Often, both the men's traditional and the grass dancers will also kind of exhibit some sort of skill. Either they're looking like they're tracking animals or looking for enemies or things like that. And then the other main style of men's dance is the fancy dance. And you'll see not always eagle feathers, but sometimes they'll have turkey or chicken feathers that are dyed to look like eagle feathers in much fancier colors, and you'll see a very athletic style of dance. A powwow, the schedule will typically be for a traditional powwow. There might be a Friday evening grand entry at like 7 p.m., and on Saturday and Sunday they might do them grand entries at 1 and at 7 both days. So the grand entries are kind of, if you're coming to spectate for the first time, are a good thing to come to, because they'll actually line up all of the dancers and they'll dance in by their style. So it's very easy to see each major style of dance. Usually the powwow announcer is saying, here come our men's traditional dancers, our warriors, our hunters. Mm-hmm. Notice how they mimic the movements of hunters looking for tracks in the grass, or, you know, they'll say stuff like that. And so it's much easier for people who are spectating to say, oh, I get that. Cool. I can see that, you know, and so it's not just regalia. So they often provide some explanations. They don't always go through every bead on every person's outfit kind of thing, but, you know, it's pretty easy to follow along.
Thanks to Anton Troyer for stopping by the studio and talking about powwows. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.
Well, as a child, I mostly spoke inside my head. Had conversations with the clouds, the dogs, the dead. And they thought me broken, that my tongue was coated lead. But I just couldn't make my words make sense to them. If you only listen with your ears, I can't get in.
Dr. Anton Troyer on Area Voices, made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. He is professor of Ojibwe at BSU and the author of 14 books.